So I want to encourage you guys with this scripture I'm reading, and I shared it with our team players on Sunday when we rallied here early before service, and I'm going to read a little more than what's on the screen, but trust me, it's in the Bible, so if you don't trust me, use your Bible app, okay? So I just want to read a verse before and a verse after to provide some more context, but before this moment, God has spoken to Moses and said, here's what you're going to do for me. Here's what you're going to build for me. It's going to be a tabernacle. And it's where God's presence is going to reside, and I'm going to meet you there, and sacrifice is going to happen there, and it's going to be a beautiful meeting place. And so God gives Moses all this instruction, which truthfully is really hard to read through in 2018. Like I was trudging along of what cubic is what cubic, and if you've read Exodus, you know. Now I'm in Leviticus, so here we go. But we're reading through this, and God has given detail and detail. And then it's time now to do it. So it's okay, here's all the details, here's all the plans. Now let's rally people. So I want you to see what happens here. God speaks to this man Moses, and Moses is now leading people, and he has directors around him, and he has some skilled team leaders, if we use our language, around him. But now it's time for the whole people to come together. It's here's the vision, here's what we want to do, here's where we want to go, let's rally together. And look at what the leaders say here. I'm going to start in verse 4. Finally, the craftsmen, this is Exodus 36. Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work. In verse 5, they went to Moses and reported, look at this, the people have given more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do. Man, that's a report I want to hear in this church. Hey, we've got too much money. That's the KIV, right? Keith and Davino version. Verse 6, so Moses gave the command, and this message was sent out throughout the camp. Now, this is where I think he got it wrong. I wouldn't do this part. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. And in verse 7, their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. And I love what's going on there. I love the faith of the people in that moment. Because they see this is where God has said we're going to go. This is what we're going to build. This is what we're going to do. It's for the glory of his name. It's so that we can connect with him. It's so that we can discover him. So that we can serve him. And Moses brings that to the people and he says, hey, look, this is what it is. I mean, he presents a budget. This is the budget. This is what we need. Everyone gather stuff and all that happens in chapter, was at 35, 34, everything's going on. In 36, we see we have more than enough. And I want you to realize something. As I was looking through numbers, we're going to talk numbers in a few minutes. I love numbers. This is probably one of my favorite nights. If you connect with me, you know, I love spreadsheets. I will do spreadsheets over sermons any day. It's just, let me just be honest. I love numbers. Right? So here's Moses with his numbers. He says, we've got more than enough. We've got more than enough here. And when I was looking through numbers of 2017, that is exactly what this church did. And we're going to see some of that, but I want you, if you were here, you remember in July, last Sunday in July, we did a vision update. And we stayed after and we had a meal and I shared with you, I said, look, this is where we want to go. This is where we are. At that point, we were negative 8,000 projected budget for the year. And it was, hey, what if we can close this thing out? We had commitment cards. We had 50 $10 commitments. It was, hey, if we can do $50, 10 $50 cards, if we can get those out for 26 Sundays, this is what it would look like. And you, the church, responded in radical generosity, and more than enough became the words for 2017. Because you're going to see in the report, we went from negative 8,000 in July, that's only five months left, to positive 4,000. That's where I would, that's like insert clapping, right? Like we went from negative 8,000 in July with August, September, October, November, December, 5 months left. And we made up 8,000 and went 4,000 into the black. That's tremendous. That is tremendous. You need to understand that is tremendous. And when you see, when we go through this, what 2017 looked like compared to what 2016, I can only imagine what 2018 and beyond is going to look like. Because we have radical generosity in this church. Because you're understanding that we are reaching people. This isn't about adding dollars. This is about adding people. You know why we count numbers? Because every number is a person. And every person deserves the opportunity to know Jesus. That's why we count numbers. And every dollar helps more people come because there's more seats. There's more outreach. There's more kids programming. And so I am so fired up and so thankful for everything that has happened in 2017 and so excited about 2018 and beyond. Now, before we get, I've been watching a lot of Toy Story, so if I say the word beyond a lot, it's because of Buzz Lightyear, okay? So just go with me there. And also, we're going to talk about partnership, and every time I hear the word partner, I think of Woody. So like my whole theology is thrown off right now. But before we get into what you have in your packet, I wanted to share something with you regarding our purpose and our process here. So it's cool. As I was in the back, I was looking around the room, and I was like, wow, I'm fairly certain that every person in this room went through Connect Track. And we have some people that are students of it right now, and they're finishing up this month. But every single person has touched Connect Track in some way. And so by touching Connect Track, you went through week two, which was when we talked about our mission, our vision, our values, our strategies, and we had a lot of content there for you. And we looked at that recently, me and some other people in the space, and we said, all right, these are great words. They rhyme. They're alliterated. I mean, I'm a pastor. As much as I can alliterate, that's what they teach me to do. Like, start with the same letter and get your rhyming and do as much as you can. And it looks great, and it filled up four pages in a book. But we started to say, is that what we're doing? Is that our focus? Is that our purpose and our process? Is that actually why we exist? Because it's good. I mean, some of you, if you work for companies, your company most likely has a mission statement and a vision statement and purpose and core values and all of those things. So we said, what if we could simplify? What if we could just say, this is why we exist. This is who we are. This is what it looks like to become disciples. Because that's what Jesus told us to do, right? Go and make disciples. Disciples are people that follow Jesus. So go make Jesus followers. Okay, so what does a Jesus follower look like? And we had all of that. And tonight I want to share with you, and we have some handouts. If you want a copy of this, they're in print now. We have a few downstairs. But this is what our purpose and process statement looks like in one shot. It's to discover Jesus, to connect with people, and serve the world. Can we do like I did in church? We say things together? Let's do it. So discover Jesus, connect with people, serve the world. Right? This is our purpose. And it's our process. And it's one sentence that you can all leave here tonight remembering. So what are these circles? Well, this is how it happens. See, we realize we most discover Jesus through gatherings. When we gather, primarily on Sundays, that's when we gather, that is when our narrow focus of gathering is to discover Jesus. And for some people, it's to discover him for the first time. And for other people, it's to rediscover. Because I need to keep discovering Jesus. I'm not done discovering him. I haven't figured out all of this. I don't even have figured out half of it or a quarter of it. I want to know more of God. I want to discover more of Jesus. And so we realize, hey, that happens through gatherings. That's our reason for coming together. And I said, okay, well, how are we going to connect with people? What does it look like to connect with people? And we looked and we said, hold on a second. We've run groups. We did Connect Track. We did Starting Point. If you're here way back when, we did Gospel Primer. Gospel Primer graduates, a couple people. Yeah, we had some Gospel Primer in my house. We were just trying things. It was just like, what does this look like? We jacked you up. I apologize for that. I'm just joking. We had fun. We were experimenting. And it was, hey, we're connecting with each other. And it's happening through groups. And how are we serving the world? I looked at this room again, and I said, hey, there are so many team players in this room. There are so many people who are coming out on Sundays, and they're serving the world. They're serving people who are coming to this space. And so when we started to realize, wait a second, we already have a process. We just kind of added a whole bunch of words around it. But it's real simple. We exist to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. And we do that through gatherings, groups, and teams. Gatherings, groups, and teams. And I'm excited because right now we're getting ready to launch more groups on a regular basis. And so that's going to be coming to a church near you real soon. Okay, we're real excited about that. We're demoing. We're making sure this is going to look healthy. We have Connect Track running now, and people are meeting Saturday mornings here. And our teams are so high, such a high percentage. We have over 85% of our adults involved in serving. That's insane, if I could use that word. It's really crazy. Now, those bottom two things, team night you're aware of, we do that monthly. The last Wednesday of the month, we have so many people. This past month, we almost had 20 people come out on a Wednesday night for an hour to be with each other, to connect, to get ready for the upcoming month, right? That's team night. That's connecting with people. That's serving the world. That's kind of all of it. And now new here is starting this month. And new here is for you, and I'm looking around the room, I don't think it's for any of you, But as for you, if you recently started coming within the past month or two, and you're trying to figure out what is this church all about. And so I'm real excited about this. We just had some people making packets earlier that people who are new, they're going to be invited to come downstairs for 15 minutes right after the gathering. We're doing childcare. And we're going to say, hey, just spend 15 minutes downstairs. We've got a packet that tells you what we believe. There's a sheet of our process. There's a team player form. There's a partnership form in there. And I'm just going to kind of have some dialogue and say, is there any questions you have about what's been going on here? So that's going to be monthly now, because I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of new people coming. We're going to talk about that. And it's exciting. So I wanted to bring this up before we got into the packet, because I want you to realize we are being strategic. Why? Because we want as many people to know Jesus as possible. That's something we are committed to. We want as many. I believe, and I know you believe, that every single person deserves the opportunity to accept or reject Jesus. They deserve an opportunity for that. And that's why we have gatherings, and that's why we want groups, and that's why there are teams of people who serve, because we're committed to making sure every person gets that opportunity. Every person, I have one friend that says, every person deserves an opportunity to see the incarnate resurrected Savior. In other words, Jesus resurrected made obvious to them. And that happens through the local church. And so I'm excited and I'm thankful that you guys are this process. This isn't just words, this is people. People gather. People are in groups. People are in teams. And so I'm excited about that. And if you want that graphic so you can make your wallpaper like I have, then I will share that graphic with you. Right? What I want to do is I want to dive into the resource that you have in your hand. I'm going to take some water. Don't kiss me tonight. I'm not feeling too good if you can't tell. I got a lozenger stuck here that's keeping me going. But this is all recorded. The internet's going to be like, what is going on out there? So the first thing that we have in here is our financial report, because finances are resources that make our purpose our reality. Purpose on a screen doesn't work without money. And I want you to see what this looks like. So 2017 financial report, $97,640.19. That's amazing. That is amazing, especially if you look down at the way bottom that tells you what we had in 2016, when it was $74,144.08. That's a 24% increase in 1 year. If you know anything business wise, that's a big increase in 1 year to see it go up 24% in the income. Now, what's really cool is what I started to share before, that we were negative 8,000 in 2017 in the middle, and closed out positive 4,000. So you can see there, the expenses were 93,000. Our net income was 4,486. And our checking account, what we have right now in the bank at the end of the year, was $73,403.12. I'm so thankful for the pioneers who were here before I came in. I mean that. This church has been going since 1968, and there have been countless people in this space praying and giving. This room is filled with prayers of people for decades. And when we came in, there was money there, and we were able to do things, we were able to reach out, and that's still part of our legacy. I love looking in that bank account and know, hey, there's money that we didn't bring in, and it's part of the legacy. And so there's a little graphic to show you some of our stronger months. What's really cool right now, when you compare January, February of 2000, this is 2017, to our January, February now, this graph goes up. So this year is already looking different than last year at this time. It's just amazing. If you turn over the next page, you'll see these are the four main areas where we have expenses. So we've got facility costs, we've got giving costs, we've got ministry costs, and we've got staffing costs. 2017 report is on the left, broken down. 2018 budget is on the right. So what we're budgeting for this year. Now, let me answer some questions that might be in your head, and then if you have more specific questions, I have a report up here. So field questions, we'll put the mic in front of your face, and we will not point and laugh, okay? I promise. It's not scary. Although, interestingly enough, on the 100 phobias list, people would rather die than public speak. So you choose. It comes higher in that list. They are more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying. But under facilities, here's what that looks like. Our facilities is anything related to building maintenance, so that's garbage removal, landscaping, snow removal. That's why your pastor prays that it rains throughout the winter and doesn't snow. That's my prayer. When I see snow, I see dollar signs just leaving. We had a good amount of snow removal in 2017. It also includes anything for building maintenance, so anything around here that needs to get fixed or taken care of, any projects we're working on. Facilities also includes our insurance, right? We carry insurance. That goes under there. Any operations, background checks that we do on kids, church management software, memberships that we have with Costco. I love Costco. Amazon Prime, anything like that. Any supplies, cleaning, office supplies, utility costs, cell phone, electric, phone, water, internet, all that. Ministry costs is anything that directly impacts people. So under ministry, we have an appreciation account. Appreciation is how we appreciate our volunteers. You get gift cards, birthday cards, anything that's going on, any special lunches. George and I, we love pizza. We work here, right? So anything like that, it's, hey, we appreciate volunteers. Volunteerism spirit is very high here. We want to sustain that and maintain it. So we put a lot towards appreciation. Any community events goes under ministry, tree lighting, anything we do outside the walls. Any conferences or events, any trainings, anything worship related. So you can know some of the bigger budget from last year. We had to buy a new computer for the back. We had to buy a check-in computer for downstairs, some of those one-time costs. What I want to point out about the ministry, because you'll see that it's $22,000 last year, and it's going to be $17,000 this year, because last year we didn't have a Hope Day East End bank account up and running. So we filtered all the money through here, and then we had to pay it out and do some back and forth. So we actually did $4,425 of money on Hope Day that went out as an expense, but we actually saw it come back in because then Hope Day East End, which is us, but it's a separate account, back paid Truth Community Church. So that's why we're able to say our ministry budget's not going to be as high because now we've squared some of that stuff out. Also, we bought a lot of one-time purchases. The computers, we're not planning to buy computers every year for ministry. And then staff is staff. I'm staff right now. We have a stipend person. And that's what staffing is. Any questions? You don't have to feel intimidated, honestly, because this is your money. I give to this church. I love this church. If I wasn't the pastor here, I'd still give to this church because I think it's awesome. I really do. If you have a question, you can email me, all right? You can just chat with me. But that's the financial, and that's where we're going. So budget-wise, I want to point this out. We brought in 97 last year, but we're building a budget on 92. The reason why we're doing that, let me use this word, because we're smart. Okay, because we lean into wisdom. Because we have a lot of faith in God, but we also lean into wisdom, which says you should make a budget that's at least 5% less than last year's budget to create margin. See, we just don't want to go with, well, if we did 97 last year, we do 197 this year. Let's just make a budget. We want to be smart. Now, if we got 197, awesome, 100,000 gets pushed towards announcement number two tonight, okay? So that's how that will look. But that's what the budget's based on, and we're expecting to, again, be positive for this year. All right? Okay, let's talk about people. People are good. Cold medicine's making me feel a little loopy up here, so. So here's what's cool. You have this... we'll go to this graphic, Rachel, the chart with 40. So our average attendance for 2017 was 40 people on an average Sunday. And in 2016, it was 33. Now, that's a lot. It doesn't seem like it because it only went by 7, but that's a 20% increase in people coming regularly. That's average. So that means in 4 Sundays a month, what we do is we take the count for 4 Sundays, we divide it by 4. If it's 5, we divide it by 5. And that's what you're seeing with this graph here. And so overall, then counting all 12 and dividing by 12, we get 40 people average on a Sunday. I want you to understand something. The national average of retaining people, so someone comes to church, we call that the front door, but then they go right through the back door. That happens a lot. And the next thing you're going to see, we had 72 first-time guests come through. So it's like, man, that's amazing. And we celebrate 72. It's 72 people who came through and we know had at least one opportunity to see Jesus. We know that because every gathering there's an opportunity to see Jesus. But what happened? There were 72. Why don't we go up by 72? Because the national average of retention is 20%. Because people come in, they check out a church, they try it, and they see if there's a church that works for them, and that's good. That's what people should do. You shouldn't. I would be naive and arrogant to think that every 72 people that comes through is like, this is their church. But I want you to understand this. We retained 35% of people that came through last year. So when we look at the 72, we have a church database software. So 72, meaning 72 people not only came, but we got their information somehow. So that's why we push connect cards. That's why when kids check in, we get information. If people give, we get information because we track, because we want to know how healthy are we as an organization. And so 72 people's information, 35% of that was retained. Well, hold on, that doesn't make sense because we only went up by 7 people. Because churches lose 15% of their attendance a year. Whether people move, they change churches, they retire from living, put it nicely, right? Things happen. I don't know, that's just how I think of it. Right, it's a cough medicine. I got a lot of things. So Amy's like, oh my. thank you. So all of that to say, this happens. So 15% normally leaves a church. So I want you to see, in order for you even to grow, you need to first reach that 15 that left just to break even. And then to actually see growth, that's why they say you should see like 20% if you want to grow by 5% a year. I want you to celebrate this, because to see 7 people come in and be a part of a weekly average is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. It really is. And I know it seems, well, this is slow and steady. Yeah, but take 35% over a few years, and suddenly that starts changing, and those graphs start looking different, and more people start to know Jesus. We're committed to 3 things. Remember? Discover Jesus, connect with people, serve the world. We're just going to keep doing it. We're going to do gatherings, groups, and teams, gatherings, groups, and teams. And we're going to see that 35% continue to grow. We're going to see more people plugged in, knowing Jesus, getting on a group, getting in a team. And so it's really, really cool what's taking place. If you go to the next page there, you'll see some of those fun people stats. So 72 first-time guests, 27 team players, 27 volunteers. That's amazing. I said before, that's 85% of our adults on our average, because the 40 average is including kids. We could take away the kids from that because kids aren't going to volunteer. So out of our adult attendance, we have 85% adults involved. And if you're familiar with the 20-80 rule, it goes that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. You have flipped that. You, the church, have said, no, 80% of the people are going to do it. So it only feels like 20% of the work going on. It's amazing, amazing. And just this past Sunday, three more volunteers want to sign up. 2 more people want to be partners. Yeah, we can clap for that. We can clap a little bit. Give me a break. So even with partners, are people who said, I love this church. This is my church. I'm committed to giving. I'm committed to serving. I'm committed to attending. This room is filled with partners. Now, in the back there on the music stand, along with the packets, there's a partnership form and there's a team player form. Because if you're here and you're looking at that and you're saying, you know what? I love to be a part of growing. I look to be a part of this thing by becoming a team player, becoming a partner. Grab a form. Take it home with you. Look at it. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your mirror. Say, is this my best next step at my church? If so, this is it. Fill it out and put it in one of the boxes when you come back on Sunday. And then I'll connect with you the following week. But if you do team player, give you a little heads up. What we're going to do is we're going to see a first serve Sunday date, get you started on a team, get you plugged in with the team coach, team captain, and get you going that. If you fill out the partner form, I'm going to look it over. I'm going to send you a letter back and say, thank you so much for being a partner at our church. That's what that is. It's you committing to loving this church. So partnership and volunteers, team players is really important. And the last thing I want to hit on is serving the world. And we did a lot of that this past year. So you got a sheet there. We did Hope Day. Hope Day was amazing. We partner with our community. We will choose to collaborate over competing every single time. So what that means is if our community is doing a trunk or treat, we're not, because we're going to collaborate. If our community is doing a backpack event, which is what our community did, we're not going to do a backpack event here just to say, well, we got to get them in the church. No, we'll do other things. But we're going to choose to collaborate over compete, collaborate over compete. And now that's how the tree lighting started. If you don't know the story, the history, the community asked us to do a tree lighting. And the town helps us out with that, and people donate. We barely spend a dollar on the tree lighting because everything gets donated, because we collaborate and we don't compete. We collaborate, we don't compete. So those are some of the major things. And this year, we're all signed up to do these things again. Hope Day, backpack event, trunk or treat, tree lighting. If you were here last year, remember the food truck festival that took place out here? Man, I'm already putting like $5 a week away for that, because I just know, I got word Fry Daddy's coming back. Fried peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I mean, what else do we need in life? So that is that is May 19th, the weekend of Nate's birthday is a Thursday, so the May 18th, 19th, 20th. And that's a way for you to volunteer. In fact, if you even, not right now, but tonight, go on our website, it's already on our website, and you can click off some times to volunteer, which I love, because I'm in charge of getting volunteers for the event, because I'm on the committee. So we're gonna staff. I said, don't worry, church, take care of that. We need 26 volunteers. We can kill that. It's two-hour time slots. But that's another event where we're partnering. And last year, we saw 3,000 people come through our property in 3 days to have a great experience. And so it's all about collaborating, not competing. So that's serving the world. We're going to go over some goals for this year. So this is 2018. This is what we want to see take place. And you got your sheet there. And the first thing yours says is about gathering. So here's when we're doing two Sunday gatherings. We are ready to launch this on April 1st of this year. That's a great thing. So April 1st is Easter Sunday. On Christmas Eve, we did two gatherings, and we had 82 people be in those services. 82 people be in those services. That's amazing. You saw that the average is 40 for the whole year, right? On Christmas Eve, we made two time slots, and suddenly it was like, whoa, all right. So we looked at that, and we've been talking about it, and we're saying, what was this going to look like for our team players and all of that? And we have a team party coming up the first Sunday in March. We're going to talk systems and work through all of that. But we are so excited, because I want you to see, this is what 9:30 and 11 is. 9:30 and 11 are now two opportunities for people to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. It's not just another service. Because if you've been coming to this church, which you have, I have, you'll notice we're getting full, but we don't need another service because we're full. That's not why we're doing it. We have 30 seats. This past week, we had 41 seats taken upstairs. That still leaves us with 30. We're not full. Downstairs is kind of full. But we're not doing this because we're full. You know why we're doing this? You know why we would add a third service? You know we'd add a fourth? Because it's another opportunity for people to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. It's not about space. This is not a space decision. This is an opportunity decision. Because you're committed and I'm committed to making sure every person gets an opportunity to discover Jesus. And so this isn't just about, okay, the parking lot's full, the chairs are full. No. Can we sustain another service? Can we add another one? Is the team morale high? Team morale is crazy high in this place. People keep volunteering. All right, cool. Let's make another spot for people to know Jesus. Because at the end of the day, if we're disciple makers, that's why we live, to help people become disciples. And so I'm fired up about this. I really cannot wait. Because now I know, I've already got word from people in the community that said, man, I loved it when you did the 11 o'clock thing because my son's got basketball in the morning. Are you going to do that again? And other families like, I love the 9:30 thing because we kind of got in, get it done, and we were home for lunch. Like, awesome. We want to make sure that you get to connect with Jesus. And if we got to do a 12:30 thing, we'll do a 12:30. If we got to do a nighttime thing, we'll do a nighttime. Because at the end of the day, it's not about us just coming together for church. It's about us creating opportunity for people to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. So I am so excited about this. I cannot wait to give people more opportunities to know Jesus. It's got me fired up. Mike can't even sit still right now. He's so excited. Mike just wants to throw his hat at me. So that's one of the major things we're doing. Another thing you have on your sheet is involved with community collaboration. We put that as a goal because I want you to know we're not stopping. So we could look back and say, okay, well, we did all that in 2017. Are we just going to do it again because we did it? We're not doing it because we did it. We're doing it again because it's a goal. Because one of our goals is to keep connecting with people. It's to continue serving the world. And so we're going to keep doing that. So that's on there. And then the other goal that we have on there is about kids space expansion. Kids space expansion. So we are really excited because we are starting to have exploring conversations on what would it look like to expand our kids space. What is that going to mean? Now, what's cool about two opportunities is by doing that, it kind of expands it, but that's not the expansion we're leaning into. We want to expand the kids' space. So we are having conversations now of, hey, what would that mean? I was on the phone with a couple great people today figuring out what would it look like to do this, to have that, to get that. And it's exciting. It's really exciting. Thank you, Mike. Mike's excited. But I wanted to bring this up because I want you to know by the end of this year, our hope is to have a tangible plan of what that looks like to expand our kids' space. So we've got ideas floating in the think tank right now. We just haven't thrown a dart at one to know this is the best one to land on. But if you're a parent in the space, and we got some parents here, and if you've got friends who have kids, or if you've just been noticing, man, a kid's space is getting tight, are they going to think about this? Because some adults are like, they're crying. The kids are happy because the adults are crying because the kids are happy. If you're there, I wanted to bring this up so you know, like, we're having conversations about this. This is in our conversation. This is on my board downstairs. This is, okay, let's figure out what's going on here because people just keep coming to church, and it's amazing, and it's so beautiful. And so that's what 2018 is looking like. That's where we want to go. So excited for April 1st. If you're on a team, you got an email about staying after for a team party the first Sunday in March. I think it's March 4th. And we're going to open that up to everybody. It's really going to be kind of a, this is what it's going to look like for our team players and our systems. And hey, how are we going to staff two services? What's that going to look like here? We're going to talk all about that day. And we're going to feed you. So, but here's the thing. You have to stay if you're on a team, and I'm making it mandatory that if you stay and you're not on a team, you're leaving on a team. So we are doing that. I'm going to make that very, very known because we want people to realize the joy of being on a team, because it's not that we need something from you. I'm telling you, talk to a team player if you don't know. These team players have community because they're connecting with people. They're serving the world. It's amazing, amazing. So that's our vision night. Now, with all of that said, I'll again ask, does anyone have a question about anything that was going on, financial goals? Sylvan? This ramp? That's a great question. You know what? We did look at it, and it, as weird as it looks, it is like structurally secure. We can make it look cleaner. I mean, we could probably, I think, George, we were talking about painting it potentially. Yeah. So, yes. So we are aware of that, but we did check. George has been out there. I love that this building is taken care of by George. I just know George is just keeping it safe. But that's a good question, Sylvan, because we want to make sure that that's safe, and we did look at it. The pitch is crazy, and it doesn't seem like it's safe, but it is structurally sound. So we'll just keep moving that way. Great thought. Anything else about anything we talked about tonight or vision? All right. So my closing words is thank you. Right? If you do have a question or if you want more explanation about something, seriously, shoot me an email. All right, just shoot me an email or call the office this week, and I'll connect with you because this is our church. This is not my church. Edwin?
If we are partners,
yes. Yes. No, that's all good. Good question. Yeah, so only if you're not a partner in this space right now, if you've never filled out a partner form, you've been coming, you love this church, and you say, hey, I want to be a partner here. You'll see on the sheet, but I'll explain it. Partnership, we use that word, not just in place of membership, but because we see it as something different. So it's not about now I'm in and now I have rights and all of that. It's really about I'm so committed to serving at this church because I love it so much. I just want to partner with it. So great question. If you're a partner and you're a team player, at the end of the year, we do, if you were on a team last year, you got a team player evaluation form that you filled out that asked you, would you like to be a team player again? So, cool. All right, friends, let me say a prayer. Would you stand with me? Good Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for all that you are doing. I thank you for this group of people and for our church that is so committed to helping people discover your son, to connecting with others and to serving this world. Lord, we want to keep doing that. We want to keep moving in a direction where people have as many opportunities as possible to know your son, Jesus, because he is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, truth, and the life. He is the bread of heaven. He is everything that we need. I thank you that you care about us. I thank you that you've invited us to be your church. I thank you for radical generosity that's reflective in giving. I thank you for this generous spirit that is a part of this church and our culture. Father, may we continue to have wisdom. May we continue to manage well what you have given us. We thank you for your favor as we move forward in this year. We thank you for all the people who are going to get to know you starting April 1st with these opportunities to gather, discover your son, Jesus. I thank you for our team players that are not just showing up to serve, but they are serving the world. They are making a difference. I thank you for our partners who are committed to giving, serving, loving, praying, and attending. And Father, I thank you that this is a united church. I thank you that we move together. We follow your Holy Spirit. We lean into your Holy Spirit. Father, bless each person tonight. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.